Good morning. It is good to connect with you today on this Sunday morning. Today we continue our series taking a look at the expectations that we place on God or our relationship with God. And today we find ourselves back in the book of Hebrews. Last week, if you recall, I read quite a bit, or actually the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 and reflecting on suffering and our faith in the expectations we place on suffering as followers of God. Well, this week we come again back to Hebrews in chapter 10 and a little bit of 11, taking a look at rewards. Because we have this idea that if we follow God, if we follow, do everything right, then perhaps we will get a reward. But that reward, I believe, is a bit different than what our culture, our world, our experience may tell us. And instead, God is calling us into a different kind of future, a different kind of hope that you could say might be a reward. But I invite us to hear these words out of Hebrews. I'm going to read from chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, and then I'll go into 11, 30 through 40, so that Hebrews 11 will sound familiar from last week as I read part of that, but it's a part of this message today as well. So I invite you to hear these words from the book of Hebrews. But recall those earlier days when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and persecution, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion for those who were in prison, and you cheerfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you yourselves possess something better and more lasting. Do not, therefore, abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward. For you need endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, the one who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. But we are not among those who shrink back and are so are lost, but among those who have faith and so are saved. Going to chapter 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been circled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. The word of God for us, to people of God. Thanks be to God. This last week, I was looking at my email, and I noticed that with my cell phone company, Verizon, I had a reward point come available. And so, and usually every month I get an email notifying of new rewards with Verizon, and I'll go take a look. And if it's something I'm interested in, I'll go ahead and select that. Usually it's more data for my plan. But then I noticed I had another email from another company sharing that I had reward points to use. Then I went to another, I had more reward points from a different company. And I kept looking at my email, and I saw all these companies that I had done business with at some point, or continually, to do a business with them, I had noticed all these reward points that I had generated. Now, at risk of sounding highly consumeristic, it was well over a dozen emails in this particular email session that I had found reward points that I needed to use. And this all came from transactions, you know, perhaps transactions from I had done in the past, you know, maybe actually several years ago for some of those points. And some were very recent, you know, in the last week I had generated those reward points. And it was time for me to use those points according to all these emails, according to all these newsletters. However, I got to thinking a bit more about rewards. And especially as the topic for this week and the sermon was examining those expectations, you know, we put on our faith, on our relationship with God. And I got to thinking of the rewards that we may expect by following God. Now, it may seem almost trite or shallow that I'm bringing, you know, my spending habits, my reward points with the companies to our relationship with God. But I bring this up because our culture, our world, our society, how business is being done right now, especially from a retail side, there's a high value placed on reward points and using those. And it's done to generate no loyalty from the customer to the business. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you're frequently shopping at a store, I mean, getting a reward for being a loyal customer, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't think it's a moral issue or anything. But there's other parts of our lives, though, not just our shopping and our spending, we may start to place that expectation of rewards. If I do this, I will get that. You know, for example, and it could be in relationships, it could be, you know, a school. There's all kinds of places that we may find ourselves seeking some kind of reward for behavior, for action, for giving up of ourselves. We may begin to expect this in all parts of our lives, that we will be rewarded. And this can carry over, I believe, almost unintentionally at this point, or maybe consciously, it may carry over into our faith, that we may expect a reward for following God, especially a reward in this life. But here's the challenge for us. If we come to our faith expecting a reward for following God, for following the gospel, for being a follower of Jesus, the reward that we may be expecting, whatever it is, most likely is not what God has in mind for us. It's not what God has in store for us. Now, last week I read from, you know, all of Hebrews 11, and I read a little bit this week, and then a little bit of 10. And here in this text, a writer is sharing, and I believe offering encouragement to people who might find themselves struggling, who might find themselves struggling with their faith or struggling to stay connected. And also, the writer here is making a case for following God. I feel like in Hebrews, there's a strong case that is made for a person to give of themselves, to fully follow God, to fully follow Christ, and to be shaped by the Spirit. And the writer here is recalling, you know, both for the people he is writing to, and also recalling back into the past, recalling back into Scripture of others who struggled because of their faith, who struggled and faced hardship in their lives by being faithful. And we're reminded here as well that the reward that they received, if they received a reward, was not what was expected. It was not an easier life. It was not a blessing that saved them from their circumstance. It was not a reward I would say is tangible, especially not like the rewards I would get from a store or a company for doing business with them. In fact, it's not a transactional kind of reward at all. Instead, we're reminded that the story of God that we are a part of, when we follow God, when we are following Christ, that reward that we hope for, you know, the reward that we may think of because of our earthly minds, is not what's in store. Instead, that reward, if I could use that word in this metaphor, in this sermon, is the life and the hope that we have in God. That I believe that as we follow God, as we grow in faith, as we become a part of the kingdom of God and work to bring about a more just world, bring about a world that is transformed by the grace of God, it is by no means an easy or simple task. It is challenging. It is difficult. It is hard to be a part of a message of hope, of light, when the world seems so dark and hopeless, especially if we ourselves are in a difficult place. But this reward, this hope, and I say it's even greater than a reward, that really what we receive by following God, what we experience by following God, and using transactional terms, I believe falls completely short. It is an everlasting life, an everlasting hope. The work that we do today, the work that we are a part of, the faith that we are a part of, we may not see the end result of the fruits of our labors in our lifetime. But as I recall those who have gone before me, my family members, you know, church members growing up, you know, people who had impact on my faith, when I think about those who invested in me, who shared their faith, who spent time with me, who encouraged me, the fruits of their labor, I believe and I pray, is being lived out in my life today. Even if those beloved saints are no longer with me, if they have gone on to be with God, or even if we don't live in the same community or same state, I believe that their impact on me, and I pray again, I say that earnestly in all humility, I pray is bearing fruit, the fruit that they had hoped. But ultimately, I pray and hope that it's a fruit that God has in mind, that God has in store, so others can experience the hope and the life that comes from our God. For us, if I dare use that word, then that's the reward for us as followers of God, followers of Christ, the people shaped by the Spirit. It is that everlasting life. It is bringing about the kingdom of God. It's about bringing up the next generation of disciples who they themselves will share the hope and the grace and love that comes from God through Christ. And I believe, even though we may not see the end results of our work in this life, I believe others will experience it. That others will know that hope. And then when it is our time, when we have done all that we can, when it is time for us to go on to be with our God, when it is time to pass from this life into the next, when it is time to move from the church militant to the church triumphant, then I believe we will receive that everlasting life, that hope, that is greater than anything that we can imagine, greater than any kind of reward that may come our way, beyond the words that we can describe. That is the hope and the life that we will live into. That is the hope that we share. And I believe as we go through our lives, we are called to share this hope. Yes, our world may call on us to expect to be rewarded in this life, in this moment, from our actions, by following God, or whatever it may be. But as a people of faith, a people grounded in God, a people grounded in Christ, we know we are a part of something so much greater. The hope that comes from God is far greater than anything we might expect. And I believe we are called to share this hope now and for all of our days, so all may be blessed and experience the grace and the hope that comes through Jesus Christ for all people. Amen.